Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Micah. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, who cry for peace, when they have something to eat, but declare war against those who put nothing into their mouths. Therefore, it shall be night to you without vision, and darkness to you without revelation. The sun shall go down upon the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. The seers shall be disgraced, and the diviners put to shame. They shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Hear this, you rulers of the house of Jacob and chiefs of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with wrong. Its rulers give judgment for a bribe, its priests teach for a price. Its prophets give oracles for money, yet they lean upon the Lord and say, surely the Lord is with us. No harm shall come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field. Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountains of the house a wooded height. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 43 responsively. Give judgment for me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. Deliver me from the deceitful and the wicked.
For you are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? And why do I wander in such gloom while my enemy oppresses me?
Send out your light and your truth, that they may lead me, and bring me to your holy hill and to your sanctuary.
That I may go to the altar of God, to the God of my joy and bless. In my heart I will give thanks to you, O God, my God.
Why are you so full of heaviness, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Put your trust in God, for I will yet give thanks to the one who is my help and my God. Our second reading is from 1 Thessalonians. You remember our labor and toil, siblings. We worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how pure, upright, and blameless our conduct was toward you believers. As you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you lead a life worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We are constantly giving thanks to God for this, that when you receive the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you believers. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds and his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it. But do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others. But they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Sometimes I make decisions based on principles. I described the principle at the beginning of the service that to step out of the lectionary for two Sundays interrupts the flow of a story that is progressing, and so we wanted to stay in it. And then I read the scriptures for today and thought, maybe a different choice would have been easier. See, today, the church celebrates All Saints Sunday. And this festival has roots in commemoration and remembering the martyrs of the early church on the date of their death. That was the principle. Then it became too unwieldy to remember all the martyrs on their specific death dates, and so the church moved to hold one festival day, a remembrance of for all the martyrs who had died in and for their faith, which now has become All Saints' Day. The original name evoked that more directly, those who have died in and for their faith. Now the church remembers those who have died in faith in the past year. We give thanks for their witness. We name them during the prayers, which we will pray in just a little bit. One piece of remembering these faithful ones involves acknowledging the ways that the faithful departed have responded to Jesus and his authority in their lives. Indeed, the question of authority looms large for Matthew as he records the stories of Jesus. Remember that Matthew's early chapters includes a refrain. This is to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Jesus' identity and authority for Matthew is grounded in the prophecy of those who preceded them in faith. Jesus identifies his authority as coming from his Father in heaven. As the church hears Matthew today, keeping track of those layers of authority, questions become central to the task. Yet one more question of authority plays out here. When Matthew records the story of Jesus and his ministry, the temple has already been destroyed and Jerusalem lays in ruins. It has become quite clear that the interpretation of Hebrew scripture by the rabbis and by those who are followers of Jesus and who understand Jesus to be the Messiah were diverging substantially. The two groups had started on a course that formed two separate religious traditions. The question of authority also included a question about which of those traditions had authority in one's life. So Matthew reports some pretty challenging words on the lips of Jesus. They challenge the religious leadership. Remember that what the church hears today comes directly on the heels of Jesus responding to questions by the Sadducees who were testing him, trying to call him out. and then by the Pharisees and the scribes. And he responds to those questions by asking questions back. And then at the end of it all, nobody could answer his questions according to Matthew. And Matthew says, well, nor from that day on did anyone dare to ask him more questions. That's where we left off last week. Matthew makes clear where faithful followers of Jesus need to find authority. Practice what you preach. Avoid getting wrapped up in the trappings of one's office. Focus on care for others in their need. Remain humble in life and ministry. As Jesus raises the question to the religious establishment of his time, how might St. Andrew's Lutheran Church respond to those same concerns being raised? The church serves as a religious establishment of our time. In this seasonal stewardship emphasis, questions arise about authority and about humility and about the risks of idolatry and living the faith we proclaim. Both the congregation as a whole and individual members of this congregation hear in this reading an opportunity to reflect on God's call, Jesus' authority in our life together and our life individually in the world. Through Jesus Christ, God has worked forgiveness, salvation, and new life. In response, the faithful receive a call to live among God's faithful people, to hear God's word and share in the Holy Supper, to practice the good news, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Let us practice what we teach. Now I invite Wilson Friermuth forward to share a temple talk for the stewardship emphasis.
Each fall, our focus turns towards what it means for us to be stewards. During October, we focused in worship on what it meant for us to be stewards of creation. This month, our focus turns toward what it means for us to be stewards of God's ministry and God's church. And the scripture texts this month challenge us to appreciate that good stewardship requires us to be present. How do we practice faithful presence? Today's text, especially the Psalm and Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, challenge us to think about how good stewardship starts with presence here in the temple, in worship. Today's psalm, Psalm 43, is attributed to the descendants of Korah. If you don't remember who Korah was, his grim story is chronicled in chapter 16 of the book of Numbers. Korah was an Israelite from the tribe of Levi, the same tribe as Aaron and Moses. During the Israelites' exile in the wilderness, Korah, frustrated with Moses and Aaron's leadership, assembled a group of 250 men to challenge their leadership, believing that they had exalted themselves above God's people. Korah was confident and believed his leadership would be superior. God did not view Korah's boldness as a sign of confident faith, but instead as a rejection of God. And God's anger was sufficiently profound that Korah was canceled, Old Testament style. God caused the earth to open, and Korah and his household and his goods were literally swallowed up in death. Now, we know, of course, that God later makes a new covenant with the people of Israel, one in which God said, I will remember their sins no more. I will take away their stubborn heart of stone and give them an obedient heart. And in God's new deal, we know our sins are forgiven. The stain of Korah's sin might have forever separated his descendants from God. Yet generations later, King David places the descendants of Korah in charge of the services of music and song before the temple. It's these descendants that give us Psalm 43, in which the psalmist asks for and acknowledges God's mercy. Send me your light and truth. May they lead me and bring me back to Zion, your sacred hill, and to your temple where you live. Then I will go to your altar, O God. You are the source of my happiness. I will play my harp and sing praise to you. This mercy does not just passively absolve the descendants of Korah of their sins and the sins of their ancestors. Instead, it moves them to presence and service as doorkeepers of the temple. Through their gifts of poetry and song, they become God's light and truth. Those gifts of poetry and song sustain them and the rest of their faith community. The same is true for us. In his letter to the church in Thessalonica, Paul reminds the Thessalonians and reminds us today that we are stewards of each other. Our presence with each other helps sustain each other and our faith community. Like the descendants of Korah, we get to bring our sin and the burden of our sin and the burden of our pain to this place, where together we raise prayers of hope. Together we are supported by the prayers of our fellow saints, who encourage us in our hope. Together we can support our fellow saints in their struggle with our encouragement. God calls us to be stewards of each other, and that always starts here, in this place, in worship together. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.